boy. Just exactly what you're trying to pull here.
I'm not trying to pull anything.
Well, let me tell you something. You ain't fooling me for a minute. You think I don't see what you are? You're one of those smooth-talking, smart-ass niggas just out for all you can get with your black power and all that other troublemaking nonsense. And as long as you are anywhere around this house, I'm right here watching. You read me, boy? You bring any trouble in here and you just like to find out what black power really means.
Oh, hello, folks. You know what? I have a strange feeling that my microphone is extremely high. And if it is, folks, please tell me. And I apologize if it is. I'm going to check it right now because I've been checking my microphone as of late. And it's been extremely high. Oh, no, it actually looks pretty good. I mean, I think if I stay right here, it should be pretty good. I think I'm doing okay. Anyway, it's Reese on the radio, and you know what time it is. It is 1 minute after the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. It is September 27, 2012. Now, I'm not going to make you wait any longer, folks. I'm not going to make you wait any longer. You waited for days. Oh, hell, some of you waited for 4 years. Lord knows I did. And if you waited that long, let me be the first to tell you. I want you right now to grab an adult beverage, if you can. If you like
if
soda.
If you're an adult that's over 21.
Yeah, right. If you're an adult. If you can. That's what I mean by if you can. If you can grab an adult beverage. I'm not saying pop any corks or any champagne or anything like that. But if you have an adult beverage, make yourself a drink.
If you smoke, light a cigarette.
Yeah. Light them up.
Or if you smoke, light up whatever it is.
All right, now, don't be talking about promoting illegal activity.
I wasn't promoting illegal activity. I was just saying, because I specifically said if you smoke, light a cigarette. But if you smoke, that doesn't necessarily mean you smoke cigarettes. You could be smoking something else, a crack pipe, a joint.
A crack pipe.
I don't know. Light it up.
Anyway, the point is.
I don't condone it, but hey.
That's right. Okay. Anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, after what seemed to be a forever ordeal, I think it's fair to report after having a discussion with my lawyer, as I told people that I would be doing today, he did finally call me today. What was it, roughly about 6 o'clock?
Something.
Yeah, something like that.
Made us wait all day long.
All day long we waited. And on Tuesday, the top charges in my case appear to be dropped. Because the accuser in my case does not want to come to trial and have to face the wrath of Detective Robert Arbuzo. And we expected that. We expected it for a long time. It's been a long time coming. And according to my lawyer, that looks like the direction that we're going to go. But we are still going to trial for misdemeanor charges. There are two misdemeanor charges. There will be a couple of witnesses. I believe that there will be about three or four witnesses that will come to trial. I do believe, well, let me just put it this way. I understand, I can't say it, but I'll talk to you privately about it another time. The bottom line is that there are going to be some witnesses that are going to be there. I believe the accuser will be there. I know that a former close personal person in my life will be a witness there. I expect it. I do know that they will not be calling the detective in the case because we will be calling that detective. Whatever. If that happens, that happens. Whatever the case is, we are prepared. But the major charge, what it is that I've been accused of, and that is the rape of a child, will be dropped. And I don't have to tell you 1,000 times over that I didn't do it, that I wouldn't do it, and that's not who it is that I am. Never would be who it is that I am. Everyone knows who knows me, who has ever followed my career, knows that the one thing that I cannot stand are liars. Because I was a liar once. I was a big, fat, pathetic liar. And I've learned the errors of my ways. And I know what it's like to lie to people that you care about and hurt them and destroy them. People like Laura, Boogie, for instance, who I absolutely destroyed by lying to her often because I was a cheating, no good son of a bitch. To Brittany, even though she was probably as smart as a pile of rocks, I took advantage of her stupidity and lied to her quite often. To my ex-wife, Jeannie, who I consistently lied to, because I was a young man who wanted to have his cake and eat it too. I lied. And what did it get me? It got me failure. It got me despair. It made me lose people that I loved and who loved me more than I loved myself. I did those things and I regret them. And I turned it around because now, as I've grown up, I've learned to seek out the truth. And as I've said to you and I've said to everybody else, that the one thing that my accuser didn't have the guts to do was to tell the truth. And that was all I wanted her to do. Now, I have to be honest with you about something, folks. There were a lot of things going on in my mind while I was locked up in Rikers Island and in the Manhattan Detention Center. There were a lot of things running through my mind that said, you know what, Reese, you did a lot of lying in your past. There were a lot of people that you deceived, that you cared about, and cared about you, and you didn't really show that you cared about those people, and you broke them, you hurt them. Maybe you needed something like this, like the ultimate lie, to put you in a position where you finally had to come to terms with what lies can do to a man or a woman or whomever it is. And I gotta be straight with you, folks. I get it. But that in no freaking way allows this individual to effing lie about a rape that never took place. Just so I can make that clear. You're not off the hook. Now, see, I could have gotten on the air plenty of times because I know who's listening. I know you're listening, so I want to make sure that you hear this. I could have called you all types of names. I could have ripped you apart without having to even say your name. I could have done things honestly on these airwaves just to tick you off. But there's only one thing that I asked you. And that was to get on the goddamn stand so that you can learn what I learned. And that lies get you nowhere. And that lies lead to a path that will destroy you. Trust me. I know firsthand. It's a proud day for me personally because of one reason. As many of you may know, back in the beginning of this show, I talked about it. I was a man on the verge. I was ready to literally end it. A lot of people don't know about May of 2010 when I was locked up in the Manhattan Detention Center, where I had wet the sheets with water. I had had them literally tied up. I was in the top tier of the prison cell at 5 North. And I was ready to go. Ready to run out from the cell, tie that wet sheet over it, and hang myself for all to see. How many times I thought about literally smothering myself. Times I thought about slitting my wrist. And people came to my rescue. For crying out loud, people in jail came to my rescue. People in jail who knew what I was in for, people who knew what I was arrested for, said, Reese, you don't do this type of crime. We've seen rapists. We've seen child rapists. We've seen villains. We've seen monsters. That's not you. You have to fight. You have to continue to fight. to Miss Buckley, who told me, never give in. Don't take a plea deal. Do what you have to do. We will do everything in our power to make sure that you live to fight another day. Just hold on. And after 4 years, we are finally there. Ladies and gentlemen, we are finally at the end. And we are ready to go. The guns are loaded. I've got on my favorite pair of slacks and my favorite baseball cap. And I'm prepared to do one thing. Destroy these people. Now, I know that there are a lot of people out there who are saying, well, Reese, you know, we knew this was going to come. We knew. We believed in you. Don't worry about it. Hey, I appreciate that. I just want to let you know that I didn't always believe. I didn't always think that this day or this time would come, but it's here now. I'm sick and tired of having my heart beat at rapid pace every time I get a phone call from a lawyer or every time I walk into a courtroom. That my life has been on standstill. That I've been walking around since April 6, 2011 in a movable cell. Out on bail for $20,000 for over a year. Yeah, I've been out on bail since April 6. That I can't get a job. That I can't move on with my life. That I can't move to wherever it is that I want to move and just live, get a job, maybe even go back to my career again. Even pursue it. But now the day has come. And I'm ready to go. And I hope that as we move on, that the rest of you will join me on that journey, no matter where it may be. All of you, I want you to be there with me because you have supported me and you've stood with me. You've painstakingly gone through this with me. I know that some of you had your own lives. It wasn't like you were paying attention to it every day. But I know that your heart and prayers were there, and I appreciate that. So if you give me a second, I'd just like to thank a few people. Paula and Rand, thank you for being a beautiful people, a beautiful group of people who have always said that we believe in you and we stand by you and that we love you. And I love you too. To Julie in Massachusetts, I love you very much for being my friend. And your husband, Carmine, and I just hear that Nico had a birthday, so happy birthday to him. I know he doesn't know me, but I'm sure if he did, he would have rooted for me anyway. Nico, congratulations. By the way, I heard you started started school and, you know, get good grades, you know, make your mother proud. She's Italian. She will whip that ass. I'm just telling you. Trying to save your life. I have to say to people like JC, the producer, my true friend who believes in me and I believe in, and in a lot of ways, I'm Boba Fett and he is my Jabba the Hutt, but only JC understands what I'm talking about. I go out and I do the work and he sits back and he counts all the royalties. That is my JC the producer. I definitely have to say thank you to people like Mike, White Mike. I have to say Edward in Connecticut. These guys join me on this journey. They call up this show every day. They make this show entertaining. They keep me on my toes. They have helped me with my journey to get back from nowhere. And that's where I was, nowhere. I got to give a special I love you, my brother, to Sally D in Massachusetts as well. That man believes in this mission in ways that I never, ever thought somebody would. And he is a champion of Reese on the Radio and everything it is that I do. And I'm lucky to be with him. Lucky to have him on my side. I got to definitely say, Justin, even though you think your show is better than mine, don't you dare say it out loud again. I love you too, because I just met you and you have become my little nephew. In my heart of hearts, I love you to death. I want to make sure I'm not missing anybody, so please forgive me while I do all these shout outs. I got more. Oh, sorry, I got to remember this because he's having surgery right now. Dennis the Menace, we wish you luck and thank you for always, because Dennis was with me back at WRKO, where I believe that I got some of my true chops in radio. I even got to thank WRKO. Thank you for giving me the shot when you did, because there wouldn't be people who know me today in the way that they know me today if not for WRKO. I do believe the arrest played a small part in that. James Montgomery's not getting any love right now.
Yes, he is.
Now, I've known him since I'm 12. He's always had my back. Derek the Bounty Hunter, him too. I'm not mentioning that either. But there are a couple of new people that I have to mention. Nancy, thank you, of course, for jumping on board just recently. I appreciate you. And the fact that you've been paying attention to my case in any capacity, just to find out how I'm doing, and the fact that you were concerned, that means the world to me. It means the world to my family. I appreciate that. My mother, my sisters, my brothers, thank you all for always taking care of me and really, really holding out for me as much as you can. Mary, who else? Who am I forgetting?
Laia.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Pooch and Laia, my family, formerly from 100.3, The Beat. I have to thank them because they've kept me in the loop. They keep my name out there. They love me to death, and I love them to death. We're almost there. We're almost done. I know. I don't want to make this a whole shout-out show. I hate doing that. But I just need to say that because it's Thursday. This is what we call Therapy Thursday. I haven't done Therapy Thursday in a while, but I'm venting right now. So I know you want to know the details. So I will do that for the next couple of minutes. Is there somebody else that I forgot at all? I think I got everybody, right? Should I bring them F.A. Chulo and the people at Real Talk Blancers? Don Nicolione? Okay, I mentioned you. Anyway, bottom line is this. According to what it is that I've learned so far, I didn't forget you. Relax. According to what it is in the discussion that I had with my lawyer, the bottom line is that they are going to trial. We expect them to go to trial. We've always expected them to go to trial. They claim that they're ready for trial. We want them to be ready for trial, and we are ready to go. Even if they decide at the last minute to change their mind and keep the top charges there, we are still going to trial. We have a strong case. We have a very, very strong witness. In fact, we've got several witnesses now. And we have witnesses who are prepared to tell the truth, nothing but the truth. And to make sure that the lie is exposed on every angle. And yes, we will bring witnesses as far back as 2004. Yes, 2004. You want to charge me for a crime that you claim that I committed in 2004 when I wasn't even living in Connecticut, and we will bring those witnesses to this trial. When the accuser said, if you had been living under a rock, says that she came to my apartment. And this is according to the police report, reported by Detective Robert Arbuzo, that she came to my apartment, that I ripped off her clothes, that I raped her, not once, but twice, says that I then proceeded to rape my stepdaughter. She claims that she bled all over my bed. You can read this in Anatomy of a False Rape Claim on ReeseOnTheRadio.com. Got on the stand and said she never told the detective any of that. He did not rip off my clothes, pulled my clothes to the side. I did not bleed all over the bed. I never said that he raped his stepdaughter. He must have gotten it wrong. That is all public information. And as of late, since May of 2011, the witness has said everything in the lines of, I don't want to testify. I'm going to hire a lawyer to keep me off the stand. I don't want to talk about this. I don't just drop it. This is something I don't want to talk about anymore. And why? Because the detective in the case, the detective she made her claims to, Detective Robert Arbuzo, is a witness for the defense. And Detective Robert Arbuzo has stated plainly that these are all lies. And my name was dragged, ripped apart, besmirched, and there must be retribution in the court of law. And there will be. You can bet your sweet asses it's going to be. If I cannot clear my good name, then I will do what it is that I need to do to make sure that I am compensated for my good name. Because it's worth something to me. And it's going to be worth something to you, too. So we'll see you when we get there, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you when we get there. By the way, it always takes one person to stand up for you and to really, really take the battle to heart. Take the battle to heart. And when I say take the battle to heart is, it's not your battle to bear. It's not your battle to fight. But when someone comes up and says, I want this fight. I want to be a part of this fight. I want to stand with you and fight that fight. You're a lucky son of a bitch. And I'd like to thank Mary, Mary, why you bugging for literally standing up and saving my life. In a lot of ways, and taking a lot of the pressure off when I needed it most, as many of you have. But Mary is just something different, and she's something very, very special to me. And she's feisty as all hell. And you ever see a real, real woman armor up, put on the battle gear? Pardon my language, but you ain't seen shit yet. It's Reese on the Radio. We'll be back.
Democrats for making Republicans face their position on abortion, and want to say thanks to you liberals for proving my point that these so-called Republicans can't run from social issues, because liberals are always going to try to raise the issue just as sure as they'll try to raise taxes.
I think what's happening. Propaganda.
If there's one thing that bugs me like leaving cheese off my cheeseburger, it's when Republicans are dismissive about social issues. Haven't y'all learned by now that liberals play to the selfishness and the self-righteousness of people? And at the top of selfish and self-righteous things to play to is abortion. Oh, I'm sorry, reproductive choices. Oh, no, 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 wait. Now it's healthcare choices. That's right, Democrats are trying to call abortion a healthcare choice. And then try to tell the people that tax-funded abortions are not in Obama's health care bill, yet at the same time believe that abortions should be taxpayer-funded. Democrats walk in a circle of deception. So, with the pandering language of Republicans want to stand in the way of your health care choices, they have magically cast a spell over a chunk of the female voters, and the conservatives are about as effective as a low-level wannabe wizard in breaking the spell of these great socialist sorcerers. Abortion is not a health care choice. Death is not health. Pro-life is not extreme. Sucking a child's brain out is, though. Pro-life, even in the case of rape or incest, is not extreme. Leaving a child to die when the child slips out of the womb in the event the doctor wasn't able to suck the child's brains out is extreme. Nobody in their right mind thinks that rape or incest is okay. But nobody in their right mind would put the child at fault. Nobody in their right mind makes the child pay the death penalty for someone else's crime. Here's a short skit I wrote a couple of years ago, and a couple of friends of mine acted it out. We just slapped it together back then, but I think it gets the point across with the irony that a sexual offender still gets to keep their life while the child loses theirs.
So what are you in for?
Molestation, rape,
incest, stuff like that.
Oh man, that's quite a list. Wait a minute. How did you even, you know?
I didn't, man. I was framed.
Yeah, well, framed, shamed. That's what they all say, huh? But even if you were, you wouldn't get the death penalty for the things you'd be charged with. I mean, prisoners can get life. What are you talking about?
He's really kicking.
Yeah. Well, I'd be a little pissed off, too. After all, he was framed.
Now, check this out. Y'all, I really don't trust a person in office who isn't pro-life. If a person is not willing to recognize the first God-given right, which is life, how can they really respect the rights to liberty, the pursuit of happiness, or property? Y'all do know that the Declaration of Independence says we all are created equal, right? I'll remind you again, it doesn't say all men are equal. It doesn't even say all men are born equal. It says created equal. That's the only event we all truly have in common that makes us equal, and that's our creation, the marriage of the male seed to the female egg. And when that life is created, that's when the right to life begins. But if a person has a liberal streak in them, they will try to deny personhood, just like it was with slavery. That's what happens when people take liberties with the Constitution. I'm sure even Condoleezza Rice doesn't like to think of herself as pro-abortion. I'm sure she likes the sugar-coated phrase of pro-choice. I'm sure most of the people who think of themselves as pro-choice like to think they're actually not for abortion. They just think that a woman should have a choice. But if you're for a woman's choice, but not actually for abortion, then you have to ask yourself, why exactly are you not for abortion? You're okay with the choice, but it doesn't mean you're pro-abortion, right? Well, why not? What is it about abortion that you're not for, even though you support the so-called right of choice? The only thing that can make you not be for abortion is if it's because you know that the child is human. Yet you're saying it's okay for a woman to make the choice to kill the child. If the child's not human, then you shouldn't worry about being for abortion, because having that thing removed from you shouldn't be any different than blowing your nose and having a glob of snot removed from your body. But to these wishy-washy so-called Republicans who say they're pro-life except in the instance of rape or incest, you can't say, oh yeah, the child in the womb is human. Oh, the child was conceived in rape? Okay, then that thing in your belly is no longer human. Feel free to kill whatever it is if you want. I'm Alfonso Rachel with Zonation, and do I agree with the idea of bombing abortion facilities? Hell no. But if you really want to strike a blow to the abortion culture and go into more detail with me in defending the pro-life issue, download a copy of my audiobook, Weapon of Ass Destruction, available at alfonsorachel.com. Having a glob of snot removed from your body.
On the radio, and we're back 29 minutes after the hour. In fact, if you're wondering, why the hell is he playing the X-Files thing? Because trust me, folks, I feel like I've been living in the X-Files for 4 years. That's why. That's exactly what I feel like. I feel like I've been living in the X-Files. I feel like I've been living in some alternative universe. But we're back, nonetheless. And you know the date is September 27, 2012. Next Tuesday, as many of you may know, I'll be gone. Well, I'm actually leaving for New York on Sunday night, after some company picnic Mary's got going on. I'm going to go do that thing. And then I'll be, I'll take the trip down to New York, and I'll be there for a day to go see my sister and my little nephew, Liam, who a lot of you saw on Facebook. Cute, cute boy. I love him. Can't wait to go see him. So I'll go do that. And, then we'll go to court on Tuesday, And I'll also have court on Wednesday and Thursday. I believe that we should be getting whomever the judge is on Tuesday.
Okay.
And Wednesday we should go through, I guess, some preliminary pretrial stuff or whatever. Wednesday we'll do that again. We might be even be picking a jury by as early as Wednesday. So we're ready to go. And I'm excited to finally be in this position to finally get this thing done and over with. I can't deal with another damn mistrial. So this will be a full-throated attempt by us to make sure that there is definitely, this is.
But even if there was a mistrial, do you think that they're really going to try you again? Or at this point, are they just going to say, you know what? We dropped the top charges. Now we're charging you with misdemeanors. This is a mistrial. We charged you with everything before we had a mistrial. Now we are dropping the top charges. We'll charge you with two misdemeanor charges. And now we have a mistrial again. Do you think that the New York City District Attorney's Office is going to retry you again?
Yes.
Really? You believe that?
Yeah, well, wholeheartedly.
They have to be morons.
I mean, they're
already at this point. That's my personal opinion.
I hate to use the term, but do I believe that this district attorney's office has some sort of erection?
Vendetta.
Erection for me? I don't know. But let me put it in. I want to put this in a scope because there's plenty of news that I want to get into. I don't want to make this whole show just about my case. But I'll put this in perspective for you. Dominique Strauss-Kahn, they had the two New York City police officers who were charged with rape. These were two major cases that happened within the same year, last year. Both were, of course, Dominique Strauss-Kahn, his charges were thrown out, and the two police officers were found not guilty. And if you don't know that story about the two New York City police officers, they were charged with, one was charged with raping this girl on, I believe it was 12th Street on the Lower East Side, and he was found not guilty. Now, again, I don't know anything about what happened. I do know that according to the evidence and according to the videotapes, they did go back into that young lady's apartment. And in no way am I suggesting that they did or did not commit the crime, because I don't know, because I don't do that. I wasn't there, so I don't sit up here and say, oh, they must have done it. I don't do that, unless, of course, it's OJ. But I don't do that. the police officer was acquitted of rape. These stories were so aggravating to the New York City media and the public at large that it really put egg on the face of Cyrus Vance Jr., who's the district attorney of New York City. Well, I want you to hear me out. Now, again, he's a new district attorney for two big cases like that where he got acquittals, where acquittals happen in those cases, or one case thrown out and another acquittal. In a lot of ways, this can be embarrassing. There were a whole lot of other things that went on as well, a lot of interior stuff that was printed in the news. Now, for a case like mine that was heavily publicized in the media, I think there were like 85 to 105 stories about my arrest, sat in jail for 2 years, 5 months, and then for this development to happen, where the witness, of course, is now on the stand testifying, I guess to put it mildly, against the police officer she made her claims to, this, again, is another sort of smear on the district attorney's office. And they can't deal with another backlash like that, and they cannot be embarrassed. So if you're asking the question on whether or not if there was another mistrial that they would do it again, of course they would.
But there's already egg on their face from this. There's already been a mistrial. Now they're going to drop charges, and then they're going to drop felony charges and only charge with misdemeanor charges. And then they get egg on their face again. You think that they're going to get egg on their face for a third time?
I don't know. I understand where it is that you're coming from, and you're probably right. Most people would agree with you. I believe most people would agree with you. Most people would probably agree with you. But I don't know what that's going to be. But again, like I said, and what I'm telling you now, folks, again, I am telling you that according to what it is that I'm hearing, that's what this looks like. This looks like a 95% chance that this is where it is that they're going. Now, they may decide to be completely irate. They may decide to convince this young lady that, you know, we need to do this. You need to go in there and just say what it is that happened and convince her they may keep the top charge. But again, we will find out when we get there. But no matter what, as far as I'm concerned, I have absolutely no reservations about going in there and being ready to fight this no matter what. My whole heart, and I know this is hard for them to believe, because I know they're listening. I'm not worried about that. I want them to listen. I need, you know, we got to boost up our listenership. I need them on here. Bottom line is that I have never, ever strayed from the idea of coming back with this charge and having a trial for it. I don't care how many times it is. The bottom line is that I am going there to prove my innocence no matter what the cost. This is not something I'm going to sit back and somebody come to me and go, well, Reese, you know, this is taking a long time. You know, don't you want to just be free of this, take a deal? Nah, let's do this again. You ready
now,
tomorrow?
Everybody knows you're not taking a deal. The New York City DA's office knows you're not taking a deal. They've already given you a deal. You said no. There's no way in hell. The only deal that they would ever give you would be somewhat similar to the deal that they offered you the
absolutely
last time.
That's right.
And no one's going for that. And no one is asking you to say, oh, you know what? You've been through this. Hell no. You will have time invested in this and innocence invested in this. There is no way in hell anybody's taking a deal. So it'd be preposterous for them to even offer you a deal.
You're absolutely right. So we have no interest in the deal. So, you know, get the checkbook ready, because we're coming back no matter what happens. We're going to do this again and again and again, if that's what it is that it takes.
And it's the taxpayers' money that's paying for it.
Hey, you know, I hate – now, that's the only part that I have to honestly say. I mean, look, I'm a
– but you have no control over
that. I understand that. I'm a sincere guy.
Are you supposed – you what? You're supposed to bow down and say, you know what, I feel sorry for all the taxpayers.
No,
Mary,
look, Mary, I understand where it is that you're coming from. I will tell you this. That is the one part about this that, as a very, very true man of my word, I am not comfortable or happy with the fact that that they are wasting taxpayer money on this.
And
I'm not.
You know what, though? You don't have to be. No one's saying you are. But if it wasn't you, it would be somebody else. As a matter of fact, it's you and a gazillion other people that they're wasting.
I know that.
Taxpayers' money in Massachusetts or Rhode Island, wherever, taxpayers' money is going to change this that killed his wife into a woman, for Christ's sake, and legal fees. So you know what? This is worth the taxpayers' money.
No, I understand exactly where you're coming from. But me, just as a man, I'm going to go this in another direction before we change the topic. This is the reason why I don't like the lotto, okay? And this is, I guess, that in a lot of ways, this is going to sound a little weird, but you can understand where it is I'm coming from. The reason why I don't play the lotto, the reason why I don't do lotteries and all that other stuff, I don't believe in money won. I believe in money earned, okay? I do believe in money owed, just to let you know. I do believe in money owed, but I do not believe in money unless it's earned. And in this regard, I don't think that it's fair for the taxpayers to have to pay for the reputation of a district attorney's office that refused to let something go that they know is absolutely wrong, that they are not thinking about justice in this case and only thinking about reputation. Because the bottom line is this, folks.
Well, then listen, the taxpayers ought to get out there.
You're right.
Every taxpayer ought to get out there and vote on every law.
You're absolutely right.
Everything that they can, their, you know, who they bring into office,
right,
in their own neighborhoods,
right,
in their own cities, their own
you're
counties,
right,
their own districts, all of that. Get out there and vote for the people that are going to use your hard-earned tax-paying money to the best of the ability for the fortune of everyone.
You're absolutely right.
Okay,
and I understand that. I'm just saying that I am not. I'm not cool
but
with
no
that.
One's
but
insinuating that
no,
you are.
Well, no, I'm just saying that in this particular case that I don't think that it's right for the taxpayers to pay for the integrity of the district attorney's
office.
In
no case is it right.
No,
for
of course.
But
it's
in
never,
many cases,
yeah,
the, more than we care to think about, it happens.
It's absolutely right. The number is 347-308-8701. Let's bring in, of course, JC, the producer, and Sally D. I love calling him Sally D now.
All right, it's all good. It's all good.
You know,
hey, you caught me off guard there with your words, and I just want to thank you. It's my pleasure to know you, and I mean that truly.
Oh, man, it means the world to me too, Sal.
So, you know, I wanted to take you back, and you probably remember this, but I want to tell you where my Reese on the radio infatuation began. So you were on RKO a long time ago talking about the Obama administration, and I listen to radio a lot, but I hardly ever call radio shows. But I remember some of the things you were saying were pretty intense, and do you recall saying, you know, my position on this is bound to get me in trouble? And you said something along the lines of, I wouldn't be surprised if they found a way to get me out of here. I'm not saying this has anything to do with the case. I'm just saying, do you remember
that? I remember it distinctly, because what I was talking about was my argument was that the NAACP in the Urban League, that they're sitting around going, we're not going to respond to him. We're just going to wait until he's gone. And I wouldn't be surprised that they're sitting idly by waiting to find a way to get rid of me.
Yep, and I remember that. And, you know, so I didn't even realize that these charges had been brought against you. And then I remember watching the news one day, and there you are in the courtroom. And I was stunned. And I'll tell you why I was stunned. Because immediately I went back to the guy I've been listening to on the radio, and I remember thinking to myself, there's no way, first of all, this guy's not a coward, and he's not afraid to say what's on his mind, and you in no way were playing to any group in a favorable manner. So I thought to myself, this isn't the profile of someone who's also a coward and a child rapist. And so that was my initial kind of bell that went off in my head, that something just didn't seem right about this. And then to find out you would actually have to serve time and not ever being convicted. I mean, it bothers me to my core, because for all the people who think that they're safe from being accused of something that they didn't do, for every one of those people, you know, there's the person who has been, and the person who's been unjustly accused for whatever reason. It could be you pissed off the wrong person. And those accusations have consequences and can ruin people's lives. And so obviously I don't need to tell you that. But I'm real sensitive to it. I went through an issue with my ex-wife, as we talked in the past. The bottom line is, you know, I'm proud of you. You're sticking it out. You're sticking to your beliefs. And you really have no choice but to do that. But what's sad is that there aren't enough people who do think critically, who are able to see through what they're being told, and just put two and two together and really think about things. And, you know, I just hope that regardless of what you do at the end of this trial, whether you go into politics or mime, for all that matter, I'm going to be there to support you and call you friend, because people like you are the people who I truly appreciate, and they're hard to find. So thank you for doing what you do, and I support you, and no matter how this plays out, I just wanted to throw that out there.
Thank you, Sal. I appreciate that greatly. You have no idea, man. And I feel the same way towards you. You know, you came in out of nowhere. To be honest with you, you came in out of nowhere, and you've shown me, you know, the love and support, you know, that so many people have stood out there. But you, I have to say this: there are a large group of people out there who have stood up and who have supported me. And there are people out there who have stood out of that crowd who have supported me, and you are definitely one of those people. You stood out in the crowd, man. You have been an independent supporter of mine that I've grown to love and appreciate, and you are a person who I consider my friend. Hey, for crying out loud, you got my home phone number.
Fair enough. But, you know, I'm an ally, and regardless of how this plays out or what you do, I really do feel that people like you are the rare breed. And it's important to keep the belief. This will eventually resolve itself. Don't even think about another mistrial. You know, if that comes, that and then you deal with that emotion then. But we're all behind you, and you know, let's just stick it out and see it through.
Thank you, friend. JC, what did
really
you want to say?
Anything.
I apologize.
You know, and I just wanted to say that, and I'll be listening. If a topic comes up, I'll be back. So
okay,
all right,
you got
great...
it. You got it. Thank you, Sal. JC,
right.
What did you want to say, sir?
I just simply wanted to say,
what? Are you talking about my corazón thing yesterday?
No. I was speaking Jabalin.
Oh, you were speaking Hutnese?
Hutnese, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Hutnese.
If you want
yeah,
to speak,
but listen.
If you want to speak Jabba the Hutnese,
Undawi Chewbacca. Undawi, yeah.
I do that perfectly. It's the only language I know.
No, but on a real serious tip, you know, I think it's pretty damn disgusting that nobody, and even New York media in itself is its own huge world, that not even New York media is covering this, and it's a blatant misuse of taxpayers' money.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty effed up how they've twisted your life over the last 4 years, and because they don't want that egg on their face, they're going to continue on. I mean, what do they hope to get? I mean, where are they going to find 24 unreasonable people who aren't going to be able to put the facts together that this case is bullshit to begin with?
JC, you bring up something important that I like to talk about. Can you give me a minute, because I understand where it is that you're going. I think that you and a lot of people should hear this, because I think this is very relevant. Remember when I tell you folks all the time that the biggest racists in the country are liberals.
Yeah.
I always bring this up, and I always talk about this. If you really, really pay attention to liberals, Chris Matthews is probably one of the biggest racists in the world. You'll catch him in the little snide comments, you know, when he says, you know, some bull spit like, "I forgot Obama was black" at the State of the Union address. You know, that's a really...
No, I forgot the reason I forgot he was black because he was so well-spoken.
Right. Yeah, exactly. He forgot that he was black. It's a very, very racist thing. So I want to give you a little breakdown of something that I know that it's going to piss off Rachel Ferrari. Rachel Ferrari is the prosecutor in my case, and I know this is going to piss her off, and I don't care. This woman got upset that there was a Facebook page in support of Reese on the Radio that's now been taken down. It was a support Reese on the Radio, and there were people...
Why was it taken down?
Because there were people who had infiltrated it, and they were writing some really, really, really mean-spirited stuff about me, but they took it down. They shouldn't have. I wish they had kept it up. But anyway, there were people on that website who were referring to her as a bitch. Now, again, never once have you ever heard me say on these airwaves that Rachel Ferrari is a bitch. In fact, still don't think that, never, ever will say it, and she'll never hear me say it. I don't think of her that way. There were court officers during my trial, and don't ask me, trust me, there were court officers after my trial who referred to Rachel Ferrari as a bitch. Need I say this? At the end of my trial, when I got my bail lowered to $20,000, as I was being escorted out in handcuffs back to the cell, it was reported that court officer said, when Will Smith plays him in the movie, who's going to play that fat bitch in the movie? Okay?
Wow.
Just to let you know. So I'm not, just want to make this clear. Rachel Ferrari said to my attorney that she didn't like the fact that people were referring to her as a bitch on that Facebook page. I was outraged because I was saying to myself, what do you care? If you believe in justice, and if you believe that what you're doing is right,
You negate all of that. You pay attention to the task at hand. I think he's guilty, and I'm going to prove it because not only do I believe it, I know it. And you prove that in the court of law. You don't pay attention to the noise in the background.
Oh, but that's not the world we live in.
But no. Let me make this abundantly clear. Rachel Ferrari, during the court case, and it's all on record, folks, so she can't deny it, and neither can her boss, her bureau chief, Robert Hadelman. They made this about race. Robert Hadelman wanted to bring a witness into the case that had nothing to do with the case whatsoever and said that the reason why the witness should be admitted as to testify is because of the severity of the case, because of the victim's age, and the fact that she's white. That was said. Rachel Ferrari even went so far as to make arguments about my arrogance. He's an arrogant, narcissistic person. I'm not going to lie about, yes, I am narcissistic. There's no denying it. Okay, I admit right now, yes, I'm a narcissist. Well, I'm in radio. I'm in the entertainment business. I care about me and my self-image. A little narcissistic there. There's no denying that. But this is what it is that I'm saying about Rachel Ferrari. During that court case, she would use little snide comments about the fact that I was arrogant, the fact that I spoke up, the fact that she even referred to me as a loudmouth, that I couldn't keep my mouth shut. What would you say about that if Mitt Romney had said that about some black man? Couldn't keep his mouth shut, was arrogant, always had something to say, aloud. What would you say?
It'd be racist.
It would be deemed as racist. You mean a black man can't speak up? That a black man can't express his opinion? That's what this was all about.
Or you're flabbergasted that a black man would speak up,
right,
and not just cow down
right
to your,
not exactly,
to your unfactual
right
charges.
Right, exactly. How dare he fight back?
And not only that, do it with style, grace,
yes,
poise, and
as
intelligence.
As a gentleman, and do it with poise and come in there and stand strong, intelligent.
Not coming in there talking about, yo, bitch, you going to be sorry you did this.
Even went so far, I swear to God, and I swear to God, said to my lawyer, oh, he's very articulate. Nigga, please. Articulate? Really? And you know you said it. Don't deny it. Don't deny it. So.
Well, but that's just like Biden saying that,
yeah,
Obama was
clean and
articulate. And
very
articulate.
Typical. Very,
you know,
very liberal. Very liberal. Typical. But I don't care how angry she gets at that, because it's
unexpected.
But
it's out
again,
of the norm.
Exactly. It's out of the norm. I'm supposed to go in there. You know, I'm a former DJ. Supposed to
and
come in there. Yo, what's up, my nigga? What's up? You know what I'm saying? Nah, I ain't doing nothing, son. I don't know what she's talking about, son. She didn't get that, and that bothered her. She probably tells to her friends.
Especially considering that when you look at your history, especially in radio, that Hot 97's there. I mean, come on, they've been dealing with Hot 97 cases from the beginning of time. And all they've ever dealt with anyone from Hot 97 was niggerdom.
Right, with niggerdom. You're absolutely right. Mary, what did you want to say? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It bothered them that, you know, you didn't come in there and just lay down like they thought you as a black man should. Because you had the skills to not, you knew you were innocent, and you had the skills to be able to prove your innocence and to work, you know, to keep moving. Most people don't have those. Most black people that they're probably used to seeing don't have those skills.
They're looking for a
way out. Don't have that capability. The norm in the black community that is incarcerated is of the ignorance.
Well, yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
As unfortunate, and that's not racist, it's just unfortunate. And most people, their lawyers would be like, you better take that deal, you're a black man, blah, 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 and you're thinking to yourself, oh, shit, I'm a black man, blah. You don't look at yourself like that. You don't look at yourself as I'm a black
man.
I'm
not a victim.
Exactly. And most other predominantly the predominant population that she's used to dealing with, or that New York City, or that any correction facility is used to dealing with, is when you deal with African Americans and Latinos and other minorities, they don't have the skills that some of their white counterparts may have.
Right.
Nor the connection.
Right. Well, I wasn't willing to stand for it anyway. I haven't spent an hour on it.
And I didn't even intend to do that. So
I'm just annoyed by it, man.
I know
come on, dude.
JC, but you know what? For me personally, and for Reese, words could not utter the joy that I'm feeling to finally, know that we are in the home stretch of this.
There you go.
I haven't been there all the way, but damn it, I've been there, in the last almost 10 months or maybe even 11 months now. And God knows, if nobody wants it more for him, I do. I want him to be free and to be out of this, this mobile cage that he's in. Nothing selfish out of that. I want that for him, though I know that I'm going to benefit from that. I want it for him more than anything.
Yeah.
Well, I know more than anybody because it pissed me off when he walked out on years ago off of I don't want to say this way, but when I stirring up any beef or anything, but I was pissed off when he walked away from the morning show before.
That was in a position where
you were 11 stations syndicated.
Yeah, but you know what?
Most DJs would give half their voice box to be in that position, and you did it on. So I know you're not the type to give up easy, and you're not going to walk away from this easily when it's all over, said and done. And it's not about being upset with the victim, like you said. I'm not even going to call it a victim. It's not being upset with the accuser. It's not about being upset with a prosecutor, because they're basically doing their job. It's about being upset with the system, those who initiated it all.
The only thing that I ask of the system, most importantly, is to do its job and to make sure they do it to the fullest extent. But they have to do it diligently, and they have to, cross the T's and dot the I's. But on that last note, before I go into Mixologist by DJ Dave and Fog and Smog, let me just say this, is that I walked away from that show because the direction wasn't going where I wanted my career to go. And my career, as far as I was concerned, was a career that has been set by Reese on the Radio, believed by Reese on the Radio, and is thought out by Reese on the Radio. And I'm going to continue that path no matter what, by hook or by crook. Let me just say this one last thing, definitely, before I go into there. I know a lot of people rag on me for being a Rush Limbaugh fan, but, that man said made me realize something that I didn't know. Rush Limbaugh is 63 years old. He has been on the EIB network, his nationally syndicated show, for 24 years this past August 1st. This past August 1st, 24 years. Do you understand what that means? That
yeah.
He started his syndicated show when he was 40,
around
my age. Now, that guy had a rise that will never, ever be matched. And he's a hero to me. And I look at my career the same way that he looks at his. It is boundless. And that's the man that
The second half.
Yeah, exactly. It's only the second half. So that's where it is that I'm going. I've done this for 10 years. I'm going to continue to do it. And there was definitely no stopping.
And like the Giants were a fourth quarter team, goddammit.
Oh, all right. You had to bring in the Giants. We'll see you in a little bit. It's Reese on the Radio.
Yo, man. Hey, you ever go to these bars, right? It's like a nice enough place, nice enough people. But the bartender thinks he's too fancy, man. You know, I'm like, hey, Mr. Mixologist, did you have to go to college for this? It seems like you got some knowledge. It's just a cocktail for $20 plus tip. Hey, Mr. Mixologist, did you have to go to college for this? I know your game is tight, but pour the drinks, right? At this rate, we'll be standing here all night. Yeah. So there's this bar. Everybody's like, you gotta go. I'm at the door. What's the password?
I don't know.
We entered through a phone booth or something crazy.
Oh, my God. They have the best drinks here. It's amazing.
Ooh, I saw the bartender. He looked like a nice dude. He was pouring a drink with one big-ass ice cube. I'm like, excuse me, sir. Could I get a beer? He gave me this look like, why are you even in here? I was confused. Did we start on a bad note? He's wearing waxing his mustache and a lab coat. I'm like, what's the matter? Is beer too boring? He's like, well, this cocktail dates back to pre-Civil War New Orleans.
Wow,
it's real cool, man. Could you suggest something tighter? He hands me this list that was typed up on a typewriter. I ordered something and he lit it on fire. Dude, you've been watching way too much Boardwalk Empire.
For real.
Hey, Mr. Mixologist.
Yeah.
Did you have to go to college for this?
Did you?
It seems like you got some knowledge. It's just a cocktail for $20 plus tip. Shit. Hey, Mr. Mixologist.
Sup, man?
Did you have to go to college for this?
Same.
I know your game is tight, but pour the drinks, right? At this rate, we'll be standing here all night.
Simple, sir, because I ain't nothing to muddle with. I got some burlesque dancers I'm trying to cuddle with. So whip some drinks up twice and double it.
Well, have you tried our aviation or Ramos Fizz?
Whoa. Are you even speaking English, Chief? Oh, rum and coke times two, capiche?
Oh, you must mean our handcrafted Cuba Libre.
If it's quick, bro, you're moving slower than instant
replay.
He dripped a half ounce of something I couldn't pronounce. And by that time, I clap a chicken straight down. I'll speak easy, boss, but I gotta call you bluff. You're mixing drinks, too. Can't be all that tough. Pour the liquor in and swirl it in a circle. But you're on them things like a Shapeway commercial. I'll have a beer, guy, whenever you're done mixing. Second thought, boycott, prohibition.
Hey, Mr. Mixologist, did you have to go to college for this? It seems like you got some knowledge. It's just a cocktail for $20 plus tip. Shit. Hey, Mr. Mixologist, did you have to go to college for this? I know your game is tight, but pour the drinks, right? At this rate, we'll be standing here all night.
Hey, could I get a Sazerac, man? With muddled sage. No? Okay.
Yes, this is a smoke.
Warning. The sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear. Ear.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
I got something to say to you, boy. Just exactly what you're trying to pull here.
I'm not trying to pull anything.
Well, let me tell you something. You ain't fooling me for a minute. You think I don't see what you are? You're one of those smooth-talking, smart-ass niggas just out for all you can get with your black power and all that other troublemaking nonsense. And as long as you are anywhere around this house, I'm right here watching. You read me, boy? You bring any trouble in here and you just like to find out what black power really means.
And welcome back to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com, September the 27th, 2012. We are here. We are ready to go. We are, you know, whatever. Oh, man, there's thunder. Now, look, let me tell you something, folks. Mary, Mary, why you bugging is very, very scared of thunder and lightning. She believes that she believes that rain and thunder is the coming of the apocalypse. That is what it is.
It's my apocalypse, damn it.
She believes.
It's my own personal inner apocalypse.
Yes, it is.
I don't know what started it. I try to think about it. I try to remember. But I think I know. I think it was from being in Alabama and hearing the tornado sirens go off and jumping under my car because I thought we were under attack in a war. Because I had never heard of anything like a tornado warning alarm, so never would have thought that. Duh.
Well, I want to give you some perspective on this, folks. You know those old jokes the comedians always say about, you know, like Uncle Ralph, who doesn't do anything but pay attention to the Weather Channel? Well, imagine 10 times that when it comes to Mary. Mary, Mary, why you bugging? When she hears thunder or hears that rain is coming by, she goes on her phone, on her Galaxy phone by Samsung.
Galaxy S2.
Yes, her Galaxy S2. She gets on that phone. She immediately goes to the weather site. Right, she's got a weather app. She immediately goes to that. She even goes to her personal computer. She goes to her personal computer, and she has to find out the exact track of the weather. We have to turn from our regular programming. You know, 8 o'clock, we watch some O'Reilly Factor. We may watch some Hannity. 10 o'clock, we watch some whatever. But the bottom line is that all of that will be preempted by Mary, Mary, Why You Buggin' to watch what? But the Weather Channel.
I think you should be proactive and not reactive. You should be safe. I'd rather be safe than sorry. We do live in a heavily wooded area. There are trees that surround the entire apartment. We are on the second floor. So therefore, a tree has already fallen and damaged part of the staircase out front.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the little terrace out front.
I didn't know that.
Hello, you didn't see that?
No, I didn't see that. But anyway, nonetheless.
Well, therefore, you know, I mean, I should be concerned. If there's going to be a tornado, you should be ready, and those things happen. If there's going to be 70 mile an hour winds, you should. No. There's a severe thunderstorm warning in effect as we speak. Severe thunderstorm warnings consist of 40 and above mile an hour winds, the possibility of small hail, cloud to ground lightning, hail the size of pennies, not necessarily quarters or half dollars.
Pennies.
I'm not a fan of the weather.
No, she's truly not a fan. But
I'm not.
She's scared to death, and you know you have no idea what it is that I have to put up with, but. You know, and I shouldn't say put up with.
You would think to let the listeners know the level of
fear
that I have.
Yeah, it definitely is.
You would think that I had previously, but now I have been in a tornado before.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But you would have thought that tornado picked me up and swirled me into a whole nother neighborhood. That's how fearful I am.
Yeah.
As if that is, you know, I'm in imminent danger.
Yeah, no kidding. That's
So it is a little overwhelming for Reese, and it's overwhelming for me too, because imagine how my body gets, how nervous I get. But for those fellow storm fearers.
Storm watchers.
Storm watchers.
Because you are a storm watcher.
I feel your pain. Call in. Share your fear with us. 347-308-8701.
Nobody's that afraid of it. Listen,
it's Therapy Thursday.
We need to get into this viral video. Okay.
Now wait a minute. I would just like to thank you.
Yeah, oh, please.
For your level of confidence in what I just my personal fear that I just share with the listeners. Nobody cares. Oh, they're not going to call in. Like,
well,
why did I even just say that?
I didn't say that. I'm just saying that, you know, I think it's ridiculous, and I hate to put it that
way. But you think it's ridiculous, and I comprehend that. However, there are many other people out there that do not feel
yes,
the same
I know.
Way
there's,
that you do.
I know.
They actually feel the same way that I do.
I know, but it doesn't mean that they're not ridiculous either.
But that doesn't mean that they wouldn't call in. And
I'm not suggesting if they call in.
I will not allow him to tease you, listeners.
Okay, well, all right, I will not.
I got your back.
All right. Can we get into this viral video?
Do what you please.
Okay, thank you. All right. I don't know whether or not you've seen it, but according to Facebook, and I've been on Facebook all day today, even directly off my phone, that everyone is talking about this video about this black woman in Cleveland, Ohio, today. The video has gone viral, but if you go to YouTube, it doesn't look so. This is the scary part, is that YouTube has stopped the counter on the video. In essence, you know, when you go to a video, you see how many views that have been there. It had gone viral for at about 12, 1 o'clock this afternoon, Eastern Standard Time. But no matter how many people viewed it from Drudge Report, and Drudge Report gets at least a million a day of views, he had it at the top of his headline. The number on YouTube still read 371 views.
Is that what it still reads now?
I don't know. I haven't checked that yet, but we will. But this video, if you haven't heard it, folks, let me just give you a breakdown. If you want to know the people out there who are voting for Barack Obama who are in the African-American community, now I'm not, again, not indicting the entire community. Okay, maybe. But you have to hear this because it's important.
But really, if you haven't seen it, you must put the audio to the face. It's freaking amazing.
It is. It's amazing, hilarious, sad, and I think you said that on Facebook.
It's amazingly hilarious, yet disgustingly, despicably sad.
Yeah.
That this is, if this is what the future of our country is, may God bless and may God have mercy on every last one of us.
You're absolutely right.
I shit you not.
I'm going to agree with you on that. If you haven't heard it, here it is.
Everybody in Cleveland, no minority, got Obama phone. Keep Obama in president, you know? He gave us a phone.
This is this poor Negro woman screaming about her support for Barack Obama. If you were low minority, listen to the opening. If you were low minority, what's a low minority? Asian?
Is that like a low minority?
I don't know what a low minority is.
Or is there a minority, a low minority, and then a low minority?
What's a low minority?
I don't know.
Mexican?
No, because actually,
oh, no, actually
blacks,
they outnumber. That's right.
Blacks are lower than the Latinos right now.
That's right. They outnumber them 2-1.
That would be the black minority.
You a low minority.
Okay, wait. Poor white would be the minority, right?
Right, right. That's right. Poor whites? How would they be the minority?
Okay,
still white.
Wait. But listen, we're talking about poor people.
Okay,
okay?
Right.
Poor minority.
Okay, so poor whites.
So poor whites would be minority.
Right.
Poor Latinos would be low minorities. And poor blacks would be low minorities.
Yeah, well, this is just sad. Here it is again.
Everybody in Cleveland, low minority, got Obama phone. Keep Obama in president, you know? He gave us a phone.
I just love the
you
people
got,
cheering.
She said, wait.
You know, I know this by heart by now.
She said, you got disability.
She brings up disability twice.
Yes. If you're disabled.
Yes, right.
If you are receiving disability.
Right.
If you are receiving Social Security, if you are receiving welfare, if you are on the dole of the goddamn United States of America and taxpayers, you can get you a free Obama phone.
Obama.
And we're going to get more. Don't vote for Mitt Romney because he sucks, and he sucks bad.
Everybody in Cleveland, low minority, got Obama phone. Keep Obama in president, you know? He gave us a phone.
Black people, this is what you get. You got his back. You can get you a goddamn Obama phone. You can get you an Obama phone.
You a low minority.
You live in Cleveland. But black people, this is what Obama's doing for you. He's giving you a phone. You can get you a cell phone. Or how should I say, girls in in the hood in D.C.? You can get you a Celica phone.
A Celica phone? What the hell is that?
I used to work for this cell phone company. I did customer service for this cell phone company called DMZ Communications.
Okay.
Just communications. Mm-hmm. And they would advertise cell phones for $19.99 through Sprint and I think AT&T at the time.
Okay.
And they would advertise them to impoverished communities.
Mm-hmm.
So you would get phone calls that, you know, they'd get ads or whatever in the coupon mailer or whatever. They'd be on their car or whatever in the paper. Hello. This is what would happen. I would answer the phone. Good afternoon. Thank you for calling VMC Communications. This is Mary. How can I help you? Hello. I'm calling for the telephone for $19.99. Y'all do no credit check? I hope y'all do no credit check because my baby father, he fucked up my credit. Kids, I told y'all, shut up. Mama's trying to get a Celica phone. I need to get a Celica phone. You know, they ain't got no pay phones out here no more.
Are you kidding me?
I shit you not. I shit you not. It was hilarious. You can ask anybody in my family, any of my friends that have known me. I use these stories because it is hilarious.
A Celica phone
for $19.99. And I was like, what would boggle my mind is like, I'm in Virginia answering these calls, 10 minutes outside of D.C. Where are these accents coming from? Everybody got a Celica phone. I need to get me a Celica phone. Everybody got one.
I
got
to give you some of these mentions when I put it up on Facebook. Dower wrote, as a black man, I'm embarrassed at this level of ignorance. This feeds into the paternalism of racism of low expectation liberal elites have about blacks. Recall that racist commentary Joe Biden had about Barack Obama being articulate, clean, etc. Black Americans should have been offended, but most weren't. White Democrats are given a pass when they say the racist things. Stephen wrote, Daryl, let's not forget about how Chris Matthews of MSNBC said Obama spoke so well, he forgot for a minute that he was black after the State of the Union speech. Guess this is why Chris is qualified to call others racist. He would know because he is one. Then we got one from Marco. Marco says about the video, holy cow, man, my astonishment meter just keeps pegging into the red. I guess I shouldn't be surprised by anything anymore, but geez, when did basic common sense disappear? Sally D, who calls this show all the time, our good friend Sally D says, Reese, I think the idea of an Obama phone is phenomenal. You'll never have to pay for a call. The Social Security and Welfare Office numbers will be pre-programmed into the phone, and it will be made in Kenya. Which I think is absolutely brilliant. And you can't look, this woman, if this video doesn't go viral tomorrow, everyone has it on their site. But this is, it's just classic.
Everybody in Cleveland, low minority, got Obama phone. Keep Obama in presidents, you know? He gave us a phone.
She said he gave us a phone and he gonna give us more. Sign up. That's what she said. I know it was hard for you to understand because when you see the video, she's a snaggletooth.
Oh, that's just mean.
Razzle dazzle.
That's just mean.
She is. She looked like she smoked her fair share of crack. She looks like that glass pipe might have knocked. Oh, and as we speak, she's on Hannity on the screen. She looks like she might have lit that lighter too hot one night on that crack pipe, and it might have exploded in her mouth and knocked a couple of her teeth out.
Our resident racist. And I know he's going to hate that I call him that, but I have to because he's better at this
I am. And I'm bad, folks, but I love him because he's my friend. He's my pal. Like Mike! It's on the line. Hello, Mike.
Look, dog, I don't know what that cracker may be talking about. Ain't no Celica foam. It's a more friggin' sail foam.
Most cell foam.
It's a sail foam. S-I-A-L-S-O-A-M. Sail foam.
You had to have seen this video, Mike. Come on.
I thought it was Flip Wilson playing Geraldine.
That's what I was thinking, too.
She sounds like Geraldine. Look, man, you know, I'm going to say something's going to sound kind of out of character. I actually think that people who are on unemployment, like if you're unemployed, the government should give you a cheap, like, first-generation Android smartphone.
Okay.
Because when you're doing unemployment, you're supposed to check for everything online. Right? That's how it works. I was on unemployment
right.
for a while, and everything is online. Well, if you don't have a computer, like the government's not giving you a computer, and they're not giving you internet access.
Right.
So you have to take your ass down to the library, or you have to go spend money to buy a computer just so you can look for work.
Right.
If you gave these people some cheap first-generation Android phone and some kind of data plan, or told them, look, go scarf off of Wi-Fi somewhere, and there's Wi-Fi everywhere,
right.
people could use that for something. These people on disability with the cell phones, all they're supposed to use it for is, like, doctor's appointments and stuff.
Right.
But they give them a text message plan. I know people who have that phone. You can text.
Why
the hell do you need to text if you're on welfare or disability?
Right. No, it's interesting that you say that because it's a very, very valid...
Because it's cheaper to text than it is to use minutes.
That's true. But no, you make a very, very valid point here, Mike, and I'll tell you why. The reason why I said, and I agree with you, that whole thing about getting a job, but would you agree with this sort of idea as well? Okay, you're using the cell phone, right? The government is paying for it. And you're using like a first generation that's like the cheapest of the brand. It's not costing the government a lot of money. But don't you believe, and I'm almost certain you'll agree with me here, shouldn't there be some sort of provision or some sort of caveat there that says that like you would in any work placement program or workfare program that says that you show proof that you've used the phone to indeed look for work.
Yeah, absolutely. But even that, man, I mean, if you don't have internet nowadays, you may as well just kill yourself, man, because you really can't function in society anymore.
Yeah, but do you believe the whole statistic, and I've seen this before. In fact, I'm almost certain Edward will call in on this one because he probably knows this more than I do. And I don't know if you do. I don't want to suggest that you don't. But I remember a study maybe about 3-4 years ago. It was a newspaper article, but there was a study that was performed that said something about maybe 10 to 20% of African-American households. Not that I'm saying that poverty is strictly to the African-American home, but I believe that they said that African-American families, only 10% of them had computers in the home.
And they're all still on MySpace. All MySpace is now, MySpace is for minorities to have sparkly MySpace pages. That's about it. It's awful.
But I'm saying, like, I mean, I don't know where that study is. I haven't heard it in a while. I've heard no one talk about it recently. But I don't believe that 10% of African-American community...
I mean, I've been on the internet since before there was internet. I mean, I'm an old hacker. So I was on during IRC and news groups and all that. And I don't think, honestly, that... I mean, I'm sure that more than 10% of black people are using the internet.
Right.
But I don't think it's a really high percentage at all.
You don't believe that?
I mean, I don't think so. I think that... I don't know why, man. And if they are, I think a lot of them have smartphones now and it's all Twitter. Because Twitter is full of black folk. You know, Twitter is, black people have taken to Twitter. But as far as using it for, like, their life, I don't know if they do, man. And that's a hindrance. I mean, it's hard to do a lot of stuff without internet now.
You're absolutely right. I think that the job market has completely adapted itself to where you have to be online. If you're not online, there's no way in it.
there's no way in the world that you can survive.
I mean, when I was looking for work for a while, a lot of places in all fields don't even want to see you anymore.
Right.
Don't
exactly.
show up at their office with a resume. They want you to do it online.
Right. Yeah, that's so, you know, that's kind of the state of the world. Let's take
McDonald's, Walmart, Target, all of that. It's all online.
Let's take a call. 347-308-8701. Who's this?
Oh, you might be talking to me, Reese.
Oh, it is you. Okay, Sal, I'm sorry. I saw a different number. I didn't think it was you. What's up, Sally?
So, gotta ask this woman on this call. I mean, I'm howling over this thing, but at the end of the day, when you look at someone like this, this is what Romney's talking about. And granted, 47%, that number's not right. But do you think there's any way, shape, or form that Mitt Romney convinces this woman to vote for him?
Oh, absolutely not.
I don't think any argument he could make would sway a person that has this belief system.
I don't think she would even vote for anybody who wasn't a Democrat. I think that she's on that Democrat plantation. It ain't just Obama. I mean, they love every Democrat.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's interesting, though. Did you guys see the second video that was on MRCTV.org?
No.
No.
Okay, you got to go to MRCTV.org and link on to videos. Because if you link on to videos underneath this video, which they show on MRCTV, another poster put on MRCTV, the same exact protest in Cleveland, Ohio. And it turns out that she is there with the SEIU.
Oh, Drudge had something about that. The SEIU is paying protesters $11 an hour.
That's exactly the video.
Romney rallies.
Yeah. That's exactly the video. So if you go to MRCTV.org, you can see the video. The crowd is there. He talks to other people who are there. And a couple of people refuse to talk, but all the women, they all mention, how much are you getting paid? $11 an hour. They're all getting paid $11 an hour. Now, I don't know if this particular woman is one of those getting paid, but I'm almost certain she is.
That's just crazy, man. I mean, that's some stuff that you would do in some, like, Soviet republic.
This goes on a lot these days, though, these paid protesters. And this is what you're up against. And, you know, come the election, there's going to be a lot determined, not just a president. I think it's the whole ideology of this liberal agenda. The next 4 years will determine so much. And this is what you're fighting. And honestly, I have so little faith these days in people listening to critical arguments and listening to facts that I don't know. You know, you hear the polls. I know you say don't listen to the polls, Reese, but if this is what you're up against, I just think there's more of these people out there than people willing to listen to facts and want to change. I don't know. I'm a little – Mike, what's your take on this whole – do you think Romney actually has a shot? I know you're not a huge Romney.
I'm looking at Florida, and there was a poll that was just done here, and they're saying that Romney is polling really high among senior citizens.
Right.
I think he has a chance, but for him to win, it's going to have to be such a dominating victory that there's no way the powers that be can cheat and rig the election. You know,
mm-hmm.
If it's close, I can see them doing shenanigans with the voting machine and pulling an Obama victory out. But if it's overwhelming, you know, public opinion is, I don't know anybody who's voting for Obama, I think that's the only way he wins.
Well,
sounds crazy when you talk about the voting machines being rigged, but, you know, it's a lot easier to block roads, which is, I believe, what the Gore campaign did in one election. In Florida, I think, wasn't it? Where they got caught for blocking roads out of conservative precincts, something like that. So there are ways to rig elections, and it doesn't have to happen at that, you know, with the machine. So I don't that there that there's a bit of that out there. But
let's ask an interesting question here. We know that the 2008 election, President Obama versus John McCain, that Obama got 52% of the vote. We know that, right, in the popularity vote.
Mm-hmm.
He got 52%. And all of that is known. But let's think about this from a very, very wide scope and then sort of focus in. Most Democrats are arguing one major factor about this coming election. The argument that they're making is that the polls suggest that President Obama is up by 9 points, 10 points in Ohio. He's up by 3-4 points in Florida. This is what all the polls are saying. On the back end of that, everyone is making an argument about voter suppression. Now, the way that I look at this, as far as my mind's eye, I look at this is no one would be concerned about the suppression of votes if they didn't believe that President Obama...
What do you mean by voter suppression? Is this a term that...
Well, they say voter suppression about the voter ID laws.
That makes no sense because... I've had to show ID to vote every place I've voted, and I've voted in 3 states.
Well, I understand that, but my point is that, listen, if you listen to the media and you listen to the polls, this is over with when they say they polled registered voters, right? That's what they say. Most of these polls say registered voters are likely voters, and the polls that are coming out, NBC, Wall Street Journal, CBS, and USA Today, they do all of these polls. Gallup and all of them. They all say Obama has got this 8-point-some double-digit leads. They all say that. But the only argument that anyone is making, is that there is a voter suppression through voter ID laws. Now, if the polls already say that Mitt Romney's 47% remark has got him dead in the water, why would they be so concerned about bringing up voter suppression? Registered voters and likely voters have already said that Obama's winning.
I don't get this argument that they say that, well, it oppresses people who don't have ID, who don't have photo ID. Then they'll throw out things like senior citizens. But if you're a senior citizen and you've made it to be a senior citizen with no ID, I'd like to know how that's possible. Because
so
if you're a senior, you're collecting Social Security and Medicare, and you probably work somewhere along the line. And I find it hard to believe that unless you're in the most inner of the inner city, that you've never had a driver's license ever or got through your whole life with no ID. So
how
I think the whole thing is just a way to enable voter fraud.
But how
and
about
I agree.
This?
But I got to ask you, Reese, when you say this, honestly, do you ever – and this is why I'm asking you the question, because I think we're both terrified of a Obama win. But do you ever just sit there at night when you're alone in your thoughts and actually let it – I actually let it get to me. I actually believe it. There is part of me that thinks these are not rigged polls. We've reached the tipping point as a country, and Romney can't win. Nobody on a conservative ticket – can win any longer because we've tipped, the scale has tipped.
No, I don't believe that. Here's why I don't believe it. One, what I just mentioned about this whole thing about seniors and minorities are not going to be able to make it, not going to be able to vote because it is voter suppression with voter ID laws. But remember what it is that liberals are saying. They can't go down to the DMV or can't go down to these areas to go get an ID. We don't want them to have to go down to go get an ID. We want them to be able to go down to the polls. So liberals are suggesting that the DMV is 19 miles away, but their polling places are around the corner.
Well, it gets worse, man. They say that the argument, and I went through this with some idiot liberals on Gawker, because I do tend to troll Gawker because it's fun to piss them off. And what their argument is not so much access to the DMV as they say, well, it's a cost they may not be able to afford. But I've looked it up. I mean, there's websites you can go to that'll show you how much just plain ID cards cost at the local DMV. For seniors, something like 45 out of 50 states offered at a discount. And the most expensive one I found was like $28 for an ID. That lasts you 6 years.
Yeah,
you're telling me that there are people in this country who are so poor that they can't scrape together $28? Who are these people?
There were places where DMV was saying we'll give them to you for free.
Yeah, there are some places that do it for free. So this idea that it's a cost thing is ludicrous, because even the poorest American blows $28 on some dumb crap.
You got that right.
But the party in power has no interest or desire to see this law enacted across the states. Therefore, it won't happen. And that's what bothers me about this. We've reached a point of corruption nationally where I don't know that it matters.
Well,
you know,
you're
the party in power and you have the numbers, you prevent this law from getting into action in most of the states.
Well, you know, I would expect that kind of thought from, like, Global Grind or the GRIO, because I would just chalk it up to, you know, black people with an agenda. But Gawker is primarily a bunch of highly educated or overeducated white people. They're all liberals. So I think it's more of that paternalistic stuff.
Bleak.
I don't think what I believe, Sal, and I understand your fear, and in a lot of ways, you're like me, because sometimes I feel that desperation. It's hard for me to watch the news sometimes because I feel that the hold it has on the rest of society. I'll turn to NBC. I turn to ABC. I always watch the nightly news for ABC, the World News Tonight, and nightly news at 7 o'clock, 6:30 and 7 o'clock. I watch those news broadcasts, and I hear the way that they open up talking about the election, and it's always about bashing Romney when they open the show. I'll turn into Wolf Blitzer. I'll turn into MSNBC, maybe watch The Cycle for 5-10 minutes, even Martin Bashir. I listen to them, and I get angered because I know that it's not like these people aren't being watched. They're being watched. And I know that there is a group of people out there that's listening to them and is agreeing, because they wouldn't have an audience if they didn't agree with what it is that they're hearing. And I get angered at the lies and the blatant dismissal of the truth. And I feel like, wow, it's like, if these people are able to influence our country, we could lose this election. But I start to believe their hype.
Man, is it the liberal paternalistic thing with these bleeding heart Gawkerites? I mean, sat in their middle class neighborhood and said, "Oh, those poor black people, they can't possibly afford $28 for an ID card." It's like they smoke Newports.
Right.
Newports are like $7 a pack.
And you know that lady in that video was a smoker. She was smoking something, whether it was Newports, crack.
Yeah, girl, I smoked them Newports.
Hey, don't forget, she had a nice little stick of gum going there in her mouth as well. I don't know if you
saw
that.
Oh, dude, you know, think it was some kind of fruit flavored gum?
I don't know, man. It's like, you know, she had it right in the middle of her tongue, and then she's talking. You can't help but see it. It's just that video was repulsive in every way. I was losing it, man.
It does terrify me that there are people out there. Like, I don't have a problem with folks having a differing political opinion to mine, because I'm kind of in the minority in America. Like, the right and the left both hate me for what I think on some things. But that people who are educated, like, I had a discussion with a liberal about the economy, and I said some legitimate, real stuff, which is the dollar's backed by nothing. This is reminiscent of Weimar Germany. You're going to have problems because the currency is backed by nothing. We need to have a gold-backed currency. And the guy says, well, why does gold have any intrinsic value? It has no more value than what the dollar's backed by now. It's like, you idiot. Gold is valuable because gold has always been valuable. That's the standard. You have to back your currency
stupid.
With something concrete, and that's what we do. And he just, they don't get it. They think that everything's going to be fine. They have no belief that they think that America, they're even worse than like the hardcore right-wing redneck like jingoists. They think that nothing's ever going to happen. They think that for some reason we're immune to the forces of the economy, that anybody who doubts it is just some right-wing tinfoil hat wearing wacko.
Yeah, right. You're absolutely.
That's crazy.
Right.
I mean, you can't look at history and think that for some reason America is immune to the forces of economics.
The part I don't get, and I just haven't really studied liberalism enough, what I don't understand is you've got obviously the people who are needy, who need some kind of assistance, and it's very easy to understand why they vote a certain way. But the part I don't get is when you look at these liberals and these people who are out of touch with the average person, the educated folk, at the end of the day, is this all a drummed-up kind of ideology that came out of the colleges, that came out of the 60s? What changed our country to the point where we, you know, we're afraid to say the Pledge of Allegiance, but, you know, all this other stuff is, like, really cool. Occupy rallies. And you, what is this all about?
It's college. It's college, a lot of it, but not everybody with these beliefs is college educated. I think a lot of it comes back to the widespread availability of television. I mean, people didn't really get TVs in large numbers in this country until, like, the 60s and the 70s. Up until then, there was TV. You had to be pretty well off to have television. But once TVs became cheap, like when they started getting imported from Japan in the 60s and 70s, everybody had TV. So it's like 1984 or North Korea. Remember 1984, Winston Smith had the box in his house that broadcast messages from the government, always pro-government, brainwashing messages.
Yeah.
TV's no different. If you watch television, and I'm going to say, I mean, I get it right out, I have no problem with interracial relationships at all, okay? It's not a problem for me. I don't care. I've dated interracially myself. But until television came around, that was really a major taboo, right? There was no black-white marriages, really. But TV came along and showed people examples that it was okay, and now there's a lot of interracial relationships.
It's funny because
TV is capable of changing public opinion. That's what
it
is.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Because what I believe that a lot of people, a lot of these, this quote-unquote intelligentsia within the Hollywood realm, what they saw was with commercials, what they saw on television was, if we can influence people with commercials, if we can tell them to smoke this cigarette, if we can tell them to buy this product, why can't we do the same thing with our television shows? Why can't we
look at the Jeffersons. You know, the Jeffersons is a perfect example. Back in the 60s, there was some music show where some white female singer, like, held hands with a black singer, a black male singer. I forget who it was. It was like Sandra Dee or somebody, or maybe it was country and it was Charlie Pride was the guy. And people lost their mind. But like 10 years later on the Jeffersons, you've got Tom and Helen Willis who were married, and that was a top 10 TV show, you know, and nobody said anything. And nowadays you've got movies like, what was that one with that, where the guy was the dancer in the ghetto and the white girl was a ballerina and ended up in the head in the hood school and learned hip hop dancing. Save the Last Dance.
Save the Last Dance.
So that was showing in a positive light this sort of thing. So TV can change public opinion for the better, but can also change it for the worse. I mean, let's not forget that the Nazis were masters of propaganda. You know,
yes,
propaganda. Propaganda was a very effective tool of the Nazi Party, and they started targeting people very young. And we did it too in World War II. I mean, have you seen the World War II, like Walt Disney and Warner Brothers cartoons?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
you're right.
You know, you had Donald Duck fighting against Hitler, and you know, comic books were very much, you know, anti-Hitler and anti-Japanese. That's how you change public
opinion.
You even
had Bugs Bunny. Bugs Bunny was fighting against, what was it, Stalin?
Yeah,
Stalin,
Bugs Bunny was fighting against
Hitler, sure.
Yeah. So I think a lot of the liberal brainwashing has come from television, because television, all the creative entertainment is liberal bias.
And this goes back to the we had about, and Reese wasn't really on board, and I'm real strong on this, that the majority of Americans who are on the fence are like me, where we're fiscal conservatives and more of a social libertarian. The conservative party is doing nothing to concern itself with that electorate, or they're just walking away from it. And so I don't see, you know, as people get older and older, the people that were, you know, devout Catholics, there's fewer every day. So the conservative base is losing base as time goes on because of these social conservative views. So
it's funny. It's funny that you say that, Sal. If I may, and I apologize for cutting you off, but I think you're absolutely right. But let me tell you why I believe that is, and I could be completely off the rails here, and Mike might even disagree to some degree. What I think happened in these recent years, I'll even go so far as in the last 2 years, I believe that the Republican Party has identified libertarianism. Or libertarians with Ron Paul. And they believe that libertarians are so off the rails with the whole let everybody be whatever it is. They want to do drugs, let them do drugs. They want to, you know, that whole free spirit thing to them is an offshoot of some sort of hippie ideology where conservatives say we can't be hippies. Libertarians in some degree, Republicans agree with a lot of things that libertarians say, but that whole free spirit sort of let everybody do what they want to do, let's not regulate everything in the world, conservatives have a little bit of an issue with that, and they almost feel like libertarians are a factor of extremism.
Well, I think they've committed so much, you know, when Reagan did it back in 80, they targeted Jerry Falwell's moral majority, right? The evangelical movement who was underrepresented. And they've committed so hard to that demographic that they can't risk offending that demographic by embracing the burgeoning libertarian demographic. You know, because look at me and Sal and Edward. We're not lockstep in everything, but we agree on more stuff than we disagree.
We're all pretty much
libertarian. You know, I'm sure all three of us would like unrestricted gun rights.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we would like minimal federal intervention in our lives.
Yep.
We would like the drug war, which is a waste, curtailed because it's accomplishing nothing except ruining people's lives.
Right.
And we don't really give a shit about what folks do in their bedrooms. I don't care. And when I was younger, growing up in rural South Louisiana, I hated gay people. I didn't know any gay people. I had no experience with gay people. They were just these scary homos who wanted to rape little boys. But when I got older and I got around the world, I figured out I have nothing to fear from gay people. Who cares?
They're not trying
to put anything in me. It's not a problem.
Hmm.
You made a good point. You said they're afraid to offend the base, and you're absolutely right. So they're caught in a catch-22 because they either offend the base or they lose the base eventually anyway because people growing up, I'm not young, but I'm not in my 50s yet. So if I'm already thinking that way, kids in their 20s, you know, the people that are really strong, and Reese, I mean, even I believe you're probably more of a social conservative than I am in certain ways. Would you consider yourself a social conservative?
Not in the least.
Oh, really? Okay.
I would consider myself to the right of Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, the thing is, and you can't tell anybody, I mean, a huge percentage of people have smoked marijuana in this country.
Right, absolutely.
And when I saw those stupid commercials that ran after 9/11, where it was like the guy in his 20s talking to the grumpy old guy in the tie, and he said, well, you know, you smoke marijuana and that supports terrorism. Give me a break. I don't buy my weed from a terrorist. I buy it from a hippie. Look at this shit from another hippie. There's no terrorism involved, and they're still pushing that gateway drug nonsense. Look, man, I've been around the block. I've done every drug imaginable except shooting heroin. And I have a steady job and never gone to jail. So you can't tell me this bullshit that drugs are going to ruin lives. I know far more people who've ruined their lives on alcohol.
Yeah, I hear you.
That who've never ruined their lives on drugs.
I want to tell you one thing. Sal, I'm sorry. For one second, I do want to tell you this, though. I had one experience when I would first realize a libertarian, ever experienced a libertarian in my entire life. I promise you this is true. I hope that you can look this up because it was in 2002, so the internet was pretty popping then. In the Upper East Side, I think it was East Harlem, it was the first time I'd ever heard the term libertarian. And I'll admit that I have a preconceived notion about libertarians because of this incident. So apparently this young man who went to the school in the Upper East Side came in with a plastic water gun or a play gun, whatever it was, to school with the gun. And the school was upset about the boy coming to class with this water gun or this fake gun that he... Oh, yeah, it was a fake gun he had gotten from the little bodega. And
now,
the school
how old
was upset
this
about
kid?
It.
Was this a kid or a teenager?
It was a public school. It was a public school. Kid couldn't have been any more than in the fourth grade, maybe even the fifth grade. But it was
okay.
A young kid. He came in with a play gun. Anyway, so the school was outraged and said that, look, we can't have kids coming in with the play guns. Kids wanted to bring them in because they wanted to play cops and robbers. But because they live in Spanish Harlem, you know, the teachers and, you know, the principal has said, you know, look, we can't have these kids playing with fake guns. If somebody, a police officer rolls by, you know, the kids may be hurt. So some guy who's a libertarian came to the school, went out, put a press release and said that these children's rights to play cops and robbers in the schools were being violated. So he had this day where he said, bring your gun to school day for the kids. And he stood at the school and he was going to hand out these fake guns. Well, we heard about it on the airwaves on Star and Buck Wild in 2000. I'm almost certain this is 2002. And we said, parents, you're going to have to make a decision. Like, where do you stand on this issue? Do you think it's okay for your kids to come in and bring in these toys? Well, turns out, parents heard about us talking about it on the air. They all ran down there and cursed out this libertarian guy. And literally just, it ended up on the news afterwards. It was the craziest thing I'd ever seen in my entire life. But I understood his point. He was saying the kids just want to play cops and robbers. They should be allowed to play with their little toy guns. But bring your gun to school day is not the way you do it.
Well, look, dude, I knew some people who were really hippie, right? And I was living in Wyoming, and these were like California transplants. And they said, oh, you know, little River, we don't allow him to have guns because guns teach violence. You know what this little kid did? He ran around with his forefinger extended and his thumb up going, bang, 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 bang. Okay. That's just stupid. That's a ludicrous argument. But you know, like Sal's saying, man, the Republicans who have tied themselves to the social conservatism are losing vast amounts of people. And they're not gonna go to the Democrats. You're gonna see Gary Johnson he's not gaining a lot of support, but he's polling now at like 6%. And he's pretty much off the radar. Only people who look for him know about him. If he can pull 6% with people who are looking for something different, if he had a nationwide presence, like gotten a debate, how many people is he going to sway when he preaches his economic conservatism and government out of your business social liberalism? A lot.
And I just wanted to say that I believe the reason that you see this election being so close has nothing to do with Romney's personality like they like to make it out to be. At the end of the day, I think we've reached the point where social conservatism is the bane of the conservative party. What do they do about it? I don't know. It may be like Mike says, maybe another party emerges where a candidate, you know, with some of what Ron Paul brings to the table, maybe younger, not as difficult for some people to deal with, emerges. But I just don't see America voting Romney in. Now, I hope I'm wrong, because I think if we have another 4 years, this guy, we're in trouble, but I don't feel good about it.
You guys know the online website, their documentarians, is called Vice TV. You ever heard of Vice?
Yep. Oh, Vice TV?
Vice TV. What Vice is they're real journalists who go to really awful places and do documentaries. Like, they went to North Korea, they went to Liberia. And they just did one where they went to the Mormon colonies in northern Mexico. Back when the U.S. was going to ban polygamy, a bunch of Mormons moved to Mexico, including Mitt Romney's family. And it's really strange because they're near Ciudad Juarez. They're in the Chihuahua territory. And it's the middle of, like, crime-ridden poverty drug area. But the Mormons have these nice, they look like really nice American mansions down there, and they all have farms and stuff. Well, Mitt Romney's family's down there. So these guys go and interview Mitt Romney's relatives, and they said, "What do you, they all want Romney to get elected, of course, because they don't like Obama. They said, what do you think about the drug war? What should Mitt Romney do? And these people said, this area was fine until you guys started the stupid drug war. And now we're getting kidnapped and there's murders. These Mormons said, you guys should legalize drugs in America because it'll kill off the cartels. It'll make Mexico safer. And these are Mormons.
Yeah, because there's nothing to fight for. Because then everybody's just,
nothing to fight for.
It's business as usual.
Yeah. So that, I know people think that I'm a bit off when I'm that libertarian in drug legalization. But is it hard to buy drugs?
No.
Now? Does anybody have a hard time getting drugs? No. I mean, there's more cocaine in America now than there ever has been. So what are we accomplishing by making it illegal except ruining Mexico, killing and being responsible for 100,000 dead Mexicans or more, and spending billions of dollars and putting people in jail? We can have cops doing real stuff or have fewer cops, you know?
Hey, you're talking about Vice.com, right?
Yeah, Vice.com, sorry.
Okay, good. I'm on it now because I'm going to check out some of the stuff that's on here.
They just did a 7-part series on the Mormons in Mexico. It's genius.
All right, I'm going to check this out.
Yeah, it's a great site.
Yeah, I'm gonna definitely check this out. I was supposed to go take a break, but I guess there's no need to. But we're going to end the show anyway because I want to spend some time going over and reviewing some stuff that has to go with the case. But I appreciate all you guys. Mike, hey, what's the deal, Mike? Did you just start a new gig, man?
Yeah, the personal training thing was not steady enough money. I was having to struggle and, you know, bust. So I got a new gig back in the field I was trained in before, which is dental assistant. And it's steadier gig with benefits. So it's a little more corporate and not as laid back. But I'm good at it, so I may as well do it.
Okay, no, I completely understand. I understand.
I'm just waiting for you to start the Reese Radio Network so I can get a gig on your staff.
You know what? That's what exactly we're going to start. Mike, you deserve, you know you deserve that, my friend. You know you deserve that.
All right, gentlemen, you have a great night.
Actually, I'm going to have a conversation tomorrow to let you know because I got another piece of good news that happened later on today, but I'm going to discuss the details with them. Reese on the Radio returning to terrestrial radio very soon.
I think you need somebody on your staff who was born without a filter.
You know, I saw you post that on Facebook, and you're absolutely right, my friend. Look, we're going to start a whole new crew, all right? We're going to start a whole new crew. I don't know what it is we're going to name it yet. Trust me, I'm not that narcissistic. I'm not going to name it after me. But we're going to try to start a whole new crew where we're going to take this whole thing by storm. Because I think that there is there's a market out there for each and every one of us to be a part of that is so freaking fruitful that we could do something amazing. Sal's got great ideas. He's definitely on this website sort of thing. I've had conversations with him. Mike, I think for you, you're just probably one of those freaking sick, crazy geniuses that I love, you know. And I think that there could really, really be a market out there for us. But again, I got a phone call that's happening tomorrow. It's actually a local network. It's actually near. It's on the East Coast, so I won't have to go too far. I will talk to you guys about it tomorrow after I have this conference call. It's going to be great. I'm just hoping that this is coming up is probably one of the greatest weeks of my life, with the exception of my marriage.
Fantastic.
I think it's going to be really, really exciting. So
holler.
I'm excited for everybody to be on board. And I will talk to you tomorrow so that we can break the whole thing down.
All right,
that's
for
67's note. They're telling me to get off the damn air. We won't have to do that anymore. I love you guys, and thank you for riding on this roller coaster with me as you have. I will see you tomorrow. It's Reese on the Radio.